right. Let's take our Bibles, please, and go to Revelation 16 once again. Revelation 16, and we'll continue with our study of the bowl judgments, the vial judgments, and try to finish this chapter tonight. Try our best, anyway. And then we'll proceed into the 17th chapter next week, Lord willing. And if the rapture doesn't happen. And amen. All right, let's start reading, please. Let's see, I want us to start in verse, let's start in verse 12. All right, verse 12. Verse 12, it says, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." All right, now, if you will look over, please, at verse... let's see, look over at verse 2 for just a moment. And the Bible says, "And first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image." All right, look now at verse 11. And in verse 11, it says, "At the end of this fifth vial, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds." So these sores that are in the first vial are going to stay with those who have accepted the mark of the beast. Okay, this is not a week-long thing they have to deal with. No, it's going to last. It's going to last. This is not something that is just going to happen. All right, but then you'll look at verse 12, and you see the sixth angel. So the implication is, the idea is that that these judgments just come one right after the other. When the next one comes, the previous one does not go away. All right? So it is compounding one upon the other. It is just making the situation that much more worse with each and every vial that is poured out. And you've got to remember that it all started with the sealed judgments, and those compounded one on top of the other. And then there was the trumpet judgments, and those compounded one upon top of the other. And now, as the second half of the tribulation period begins, the vial judgments are poured out upon the earth and upon man. And so it is just I can't imagine how difficult it's going to be under all these conditions. All right, so keep all that in mind, if you will, and realize just exactly how difficult this would be. All right, so the sixth angel, verse 12, that angel, dried up the way of the kings of the east, and then verse 13 says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon." All right, now you remember you've got right here in this verse, you've got all three of them. You've got the dragon, and you've got the beast, the Antichrist, and you've got the false prophet. So right there is all three of the satanic Godhead with a small g, if you will, all three of them together. So there's the dragon, Satan, the beast, the Antichrist, and then the false prophet, the other beast that John saw. Verse 14, for they are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to battle, or to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So that's Armageddon, is what he's saying here. They're gathering the nations for the battle of Armageddon. Verse 15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, and the plague thereof was exceeding great. All right, so notice that that when the vials are poured out, men blaspheme God, and they do that all through these vile judgments. They will not repent. Their hearts have been hardened, and God has sent them the strong delusion that the Apostle Paul talked about to the Thessalonians, and so they are a deceived world, and judgment. The judgment is going to fall upon them, and they will not repent of their wickedness. All right, so let's pick up where we left off last week. And if you'll remember, last week we ended with vial number four. And vial number four was the vial that was poured out upon the sun. And the sun was given power to scorch men with fire. Okay? So what did they do? Well, they blamed God for doing what God warned and said he was going to do, because they had rejected the Lord Jesus. But men hardened their hearts. They blasphemed against God. They blasphemed God. It's interesting. The word blaspheme, it is made up of two words. All right. The first word is the word blapto, and that means to injure. And then the last word is the word pheme, P-H-E-M-E, both E's being long E's. And then that word means speech. So they injured God with their speech. That's what it means to blaspheme, folks. They injure with their speech. In other words, they are blaming God for what has happened. They repented not, according to verse 9, and they injured God with their speech, with their blasphemy. All right, now, that leads us to number 5, and this is where we left off last week, so we pick it up here in vial number 5 in verse 10. All right, verse 10 says, "And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain." All right, now where did they get that pain? Well, from verse 2. All right, he's still the pain that was, or the sore that was given to those who have rejected Christ and received the mark of the beast. Well, that sore is still impacting the people. It doesn't kill them, but it causes them pain. And what do? They again blaspheme the Lord. All right, so what we have in vial number 5 is this. We have God's judgment poured out upon the beast's domain. It is his seat, his kingdom. And God pours out his wrath and his judgment upon the domain of the beast. The judgment of God will come to that kingdom in giant strides, and it will impact and affect the heartland of the kingdom of the beast, his domain, his capital city, which is Babylon, a kingdom called Babylon. His person is attacked, and his kingdom is eventually overthrown. By the time we get to the end of chapter 18, we are going to see that the kingdom of the beast, the kingdom of the Antichrist, will be destroyed. So notice that the Bible tells us here in verse 10 that darkness, pay attention to that now, darkness invades the kingdom of the beast. All right, now, go back to the fourth in verse 8, to the fourth vial. And what happens in the fourth vial? Well, the sun gets intensified. All right? So what we're going to see with verse 8 and verse 10, what we're going to see here is that upon the kingdom of the beast, upon Babylon, there will be darkness. But the rest of the world, there is blinding light. All right, so you can see the world is going to know the kingdom of the Antichrist, Babylon, they're going to know that God is doing this. While there's light and great heat so that men are scorched, outside of that beast's physical kingdom, all right, inside that kingdom, there is darkness. Darkness. And I believe that it will be utter darkness. Blinding light and searing heat outside, but inside the kingdom of the beast, men will grope in darkness. Note also in verse 11 that the people who were afflicted in verse 2 with the sores when the first bowl was poured out are still suffering with those same sores. They are still, by the time you get to the fifth vial, those sores are still just as painful, and they cause you to be just as debilitated as when they were first given in verse 2. All right? So in verse 11, these people are still suffering with the same sores. And nonetheless, in verse 11, they still blaspheme. They just don't learn. Their hearts are hardened. It's amazing, isn't it? But you know, I've known some people, and their hearts are hardened too. And no matter what you say or what you try to help them to understand the gospel, they won't do it. They just don't want to hear it. I have literally had them get up and walk out of the room because I had given it the gospel to them before, and then when I went to do it again, they just got up and walked out and left me sitting. One fellow left me sitting in his living room, and he went upstairs to his bedroom. I wasn't about to follow him. But I wonder what he would have done had I followed him. He said, "Why did you walk out on me?" Well, I'll tell you why he walked out on me. He didn't want to hear what I had to say. And if there are people like that now, can you imagine once the strong delusion hits, how many people are going to be so angry at God that they will blaspheme his very name, blaming him for what has happened in these judgments. So they still blaspheme. All right? Vial number 6. Let's look at it. Vial 6. It says in verse 12, that the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the river Euphrates. Now, what is this? Well, the fifth one was judgment upon the kingdom, upon the domain of the beast. And now, vial number 6 is the call to Armageddon. This is the worldwide call to Armageddon. You see, every new judgment has just served to still harden further man's unrepentant and unregenerate heart. It is as though man has developed such a scorn and hatred for God that they are eager for the final showdown. They're ready to take their stand and do battle against God. And a great battle is coming, and that battle will determine forever who will be the king and the Lord of the universe. Is it going to be God Almighty, or is it going to be Satan? And so that's what vial 6 is all about. These last seven judgments, these vial judgments, were also called the last plagues. If you'll look back at chapter 15 and verse 1, John said, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last," what's the next word? Plagues. All right, so these vial judgments, the last seven judgments, were also called the seven last plagues. At first, it may seem a little difficult to see how the drying up of a single river could be called a plague. It might be difficult. Throughout history, many rivers have dried up and it has not shaken the world. But folks, let me remind you, the Euphrates River ran through the Garden of Eden. All right? So it has been here since God created the earth. It has been here. And it is mentioned all throughout the scriptures. And the verse does not tell us, you'll notice, how this river dries up. Now, there's been a lot of speculation about how it will dry up. One speculation is all these earthquakes that you read about in the book. You know, an earthquake can divert a river. Oh yeah, easily. It can divert a river, a big river. No problem. In West Virginia, I don't remember exactly where it was, but somewhere up around where you guys live, Weston, in the Weston area. Is it, what's it called? The Lost River?
Lost Creek.
Lost Creek. Anyway, it goes along, you can see it, okay? And then all of a sudden it just makes a right turn into the side of a mountain and it's gone. And you can stand there and hear it. You can squat down where it goes in and you can hear the water running. Where does it go? Nobody knows. It doesn't come out anywhere that anybody can see. All right? Now, how'd that happen? I don't know. But it happened. You see, an earthquake could divert its flow. Others have spoken of the fourth vial, which will no doubt have a great impact upon the world. Look back at verse 8. "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire." All right? So if I told you last week, this is real global warming here. This is not fake news. All right? This is the real deal. And so just think about what will happen to the glaciers and the snow of the Alps and Mount Everest, where the Euphrates River has it, finds its source. All right, it is that area that is just full of frozen. And if you crank up the temperature of the earth, it's not going to take long for all that to melt. And so what happens when it all melts? Well, there is no more water. And folks, another thing to consider is that when the seal judgments all the way back at the beginning of the tribulation period, when those seal judgments were opened, one of those was the drought upon the earth. Now, folks, it won't take long. And remember, it's just one right after the other. And so now you get over into the second half of the tribulation period, and you have the Euphrates River dry up. And if you consider all the things that have already happened, all right, the judgments that have already happened, it's not difficult to understand how that river could dry up. So don't think that, well, that's never going to happen. You watch. You watch. We're going to be in heaven. But I hope we'll be able to know what's going on, because I'm going to elbow some folks and say, see, it happened. Just like God said it was going to happen. Folks, when God says it, there you go. All right? So imagine a major city without a water supply. That'd be devastating, wouldn't it? I would think it would. And the drying of this river is going to have a tremendous impact upon the world. Now, folks, a modern army, now just think about this. A modern army would have no problem at all crossing a river. None. Not in today's world. The Euphrates was the eastern boundary of the Roman Empire. When the Roman Empire was around, and it separated the east from the far east, all right, the Middle East from the Far East. That was the Euphrates River. And notice John's wording in verse 12. He says in verse 12, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. All right? The way might be prepared. And this statement, I think, is the key to understanding what this vial, this plague, is all about. This vial is the tool God uses to get the ducks on the pond for Armageddon. That's what this is. This is God calling the players to the field. That's what this one is all about. Now you stop and think for a moment. This Antichrist is going to have a worldwide kingdom. Worldwide kingdom. All right? The nations of the East. What are those? Well, it's China. It's Japan. It's Korea. It's India. It's the Philippines. It's Malaysia. It's Thailand. It's Vietnam. Teeming billions of people. Billions. All a complex, their religion, all a complex maze. But remember, the whole idea for this Antichrist is jihad. Turn the world Islam. You will either fall in line or you'll get your head chopped off. All right? It's going to be that simple. And so the devil knows who he's against. He knows who he's up against. Folks, don't forget that we are told, not once, but a couple of times in the Old Testament and in the New, that at this battle, the blood is going to be to the horse's bridle. That's how much blood is going to be shed at this battle, the Battle of Armageddon. Now, in order for that to happen, that's going to take a lot of people. So what God is doing is calling the players to the field. And they're going to come in droves at the beckon of their Messiah, the Antichrist. And what we're going to see is just a slaughter at the Battle of Armageddon. It's going to be a slaughter. They will be quickly engulfed. They will be captured. These people who come, they will be persuaded. They will be led and be more than eager to follow their Messiah. Even though they are following their Messiah to their demise. And other reference to the Euphrates is in chapter 9. Do you remember that? Look back at chapter 9 for just a moment. And look at verse 14. All right, this is the sixth trumpet. And the Bible says, and the number, let's go back to 15. It says, and the, let's go back to 14. It says, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. So 200 million. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And by these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So the first time in this book that the Euphrates River was mentioned was when these demonic creatures were turned loose. 200 million of them. Wow. And they've got all this ability to slay men. All right, then the second time that they are mentioned is in this 16th chapter. The second time the Euphrates is mentioned is in verse 12 with the sixth angel. And then the whole idea here is that the river was dried up so that the Lord could rally those who are going to go against him in the Battle of Armageddon. All right, so don't confuse the two. Don't confuse what happened in verse 9 with what happens here in chapter 9 with what happens here in chapter 16. Two separate events. All right, so don't confuse those two. And so here is the drying up of the Euphrates. Now, what did he see when he saw this? He said in verse 13, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs." They weren't frogs, but they were like frogs. "They came out of the mouth of the dragon," that's Satan, "and out of the mouth of the beast," that's the Antichrist, "and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they," these three unclean spirits, "for they are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." So folks, in a nutshell, the devil is going to send out his own troops. He's going to send out his own minions, demons, to go and gather the nations to come to fight against God. Those of you that have been with me to the Holy Land, we have stood in the ruins of Megiddo, and we have looked down at that valley, at Armageddon. We have looked at that. We have seen it. It is massive. 5 miles across. 5 miles. And it goes from just north and west of Jerusalem, all the way up to where to the sea, to the Mediterranean. Now, folks, you can get a whole heap of people in that much territory, and that's why the devil is calling all of his troops to do battle. He knows who he's up against, and he's going to hit him with everything he's got. still going to lose. Amen. But, you know, the devil is the eternal optimist. He just keeps thinking that some way, somehow, he is going to outdo God. But you can't outdo God. And the devil's not going to do it either. All right? Well, let's see, what did I leave out? All right, we'll stop right there. The dried up river, it just, to me, it just seems as though it is an invitation for men to speed across the sands and across the mountains and across the desert so that they can do their Messiah's bidding. And that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. All the legions of hell are ready to converge on the long prophesied spot on this planet where Christ will soon appear, and the devil will, of course, need all the reinforcements that he can get. And so he's going to gather from among all of mankind. The brand of the beast has been implanted on their hands and in their foreheads. And so when the dragon hisses, they've got to follow. And they will. It's just going to happen as sure as we're all here tonight. So this sixth vial is simply a call to Armageddon. And the world, thinking that they are helping the dragon, are just going to come running to his aid. Man, it's kind of sobering, isn't it? Kind of sobering. All right, we'll stop right there and then pick it up next week with verse 17. All right, look at verse 16 real quick. It says, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Armageddon. And that word simply means the hill of the telling. The hill of the telling. Right there. Armageddon. That's going to tell who is God. Amen. That will be the telling right there. Armageddon. The hill of the telling. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And thank you for the way you teach us and how you use your word to just paint the pictures in our minds of what is coming. And Father, it's not a pleasant sight. We understand that. But we also know that the world today is so blasphemous. They are turning against the Bible and against you, against your son, against your church. And so, Father, it grieves us to see what is facing unbelief. But, Father, I pray that you will help us to see the urgency of the hour and do what we can to keep people out of hell. For surely we don't have much longer to do that. So bless what's been said. Give us your blessing as we close. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.